President Trump delivers his first State of the Union address tomorrow night, and we're going to hear from a number of voices ahead of that speech. Today, someone who is very happy with President Trump. Joining us now is Randall Schweller, professor of political science at Ohio State University in Columbus. Professor, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thanks for having me.
And you joined us a year ago on Inauguration Day. As you look back at the first year of the Trump presidency, how would you say he's done?
Very well. I'm very happy with it. There might be a couple of things I would do differently, but I think on the whole, he's following through on his campaign promises.
What would the things that you would like him to do differently be?
Well, to focus on the negative, I think ramping up Afghanistan, putting more troops in Afghanistan doesn't seem wise to me, but then I'm not privy to all the information that the military has. But I think this is something we should try to get out of.
And in fact, President Trump had said the same thing years ago before he was president. Let's listen to him in 2011 talking about President Obama and the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Well, I think he could have gotten out a long time ago. These wars are a disaster. Iraq is going to be taken over by Iran the minute we leave.
So why do you think President Trump has reversed course on that? And now he's, in fact, sending more troops to Afghanistan.
I think he's just listening to the generals. And, you know, if you look at his cabinet, he has a great deal of respect for the military and doesn't like too much civilian intervention.
What are the other things that you think that he could do better?
I guess he could stop tweeting so much. That's probably the most important thing.
Well, on the issue of his foreign policy, what do you think the Trump doctrine is, or is there one?
Oh, there is no Trump doctrine yet. I don't even think there was an Obama doctrine. And those kind of things usually come late in a president's term. But if I had to say what the spirit of Trumpism is, it would be kind of a return to realist principles of you do things when they're in the national interest, narrowly defined, and you weigh all of your agreements and treaty obligations and commitments according to – and that includes trade agreements particularly according to how will they affect America's interests and how will they affect the American people, which after all, the government is to serve the American people.
You think it's in the national interest for President Trump to slap tariffs on solar panels and washing machines coming out of China when it could mean retaliation from China?
Yes. Those are that you mentioned one of the other things that I'm not thrilled about. But I am not in principle against tariffs if it will level the playing field or if you use them as bargaining chips to get fairer trade. We all want free trade, but as it stands, the United States is running trade deficits of almost $48 billion a month, much of it with China and Mexico. And so we have to do something to get a fairer trade because I do not believe that if we had the same kind of access to their markets as they have to our markets, that you would see these incredibly large trade deficits that have been persistent for many, many, many years.
Well, you say we all want free trade. Do you think President Trump wants free trade? Because he who knows what will happen with NAFTA now? He wants to renegotiate it. But in terms of the TPP, he took the U.S. out of that deal.
Again, I think it's because it wasn't fair to the U.S. And NAFTA is it's been great for creating a Mexican middle class, just like our deals with China. But it's done very little for American middle class and American workers. And so we like free trade, but we're running $300 billion worth of deficits with Mexico every year. And I don't think that that's a good thing for Americans.
I want to ask you about ISIS. The president offered a preview of what he might say in his speech in Davos on Friday. He said America is open for business. And he said this about the fight against ISIS.
I am pleased to report that the coalition to defeat ISIS has retaken almost 100% of the territory once held by these killers in Iraq and Syria.
What do you think of the president's fight against ISIS?
I think he's winning the fight against ISIS, which is a good thing. And I mean, even the New York Times had to say, you know, if anyone had predicted that ISIS would hold virtually no territory at all a year after Trump was elected, that's a huge accomplishment, a huge achievement. And yet, you know, it rarely makes the mainstream media. You don't see CNN talking about it. You don't see MSNBC. You don't see NBC. They talk about, you know, a fake Russia collusion scandal 24/7.
Why do you say a fake Russian collusion scandal? We haven't heard yet from, you know, from Robert Mueller
because
what the
I'll tell you all. I would love to go on this. Okay, so why is it fake? Well, let's do a counterfactual. Imagine that Hillary Clinton had won the election. Do you think we would talk about Russian collusion or Russian meddling in our election for a year and a half, virtually 24/7? Would that be what CNN's sole narrative would be? MSNBC's sole narrative, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, they would barely be talking about it because they'd know that it had nothing to do with the election. And, it, you know, they didn't overturn one precinct. The question, the counterfactual, would we be talking about this if Hillary had won? No. I mean, do you honestly think that we would be talking about Russia 24/7, Russia collusion, if Hillary Clinton had won the election?
Well, part of the story, though, is that Russia wanted Trump to win the election. And so if Hillary had won, that wouldn't have been what they had been trying to do.
So then you are saying that you do believe that the Russians have succeeded in putting Trump in the White House.
I'm not saying that at all. No, I'm just saying that that's
questions.
But I think that's an important part of the story. If Russia was meddling in our elections and they wanted one party to win and that party did win, then you would look into that more than if they didn't succeed in getting the person that they wanted elected in
office. But there are two different questions. And I'm saying Russia had zero effect on the American election. I'm not saying they didn't try to do things. I'm just saying they had no effect whatsoever. We do things all the time in other people's elections. If they had actually affected ballot boxes, okay, now that's an issue. But that's not what happened. So if Hillary had won, we wouldn't be talking about this. So you're saying the fact that they wanted Trump to win means – and Trump won – now we should talk about it 24/7 relentlessly and say we were attacked by Russia. They've weaponized information. Things we would never be talking about if Hillary had won. So it's just all sour grapes.
Well, we don't talk about it 24/7. I can
guarantee
that.
No, you don't. That is true.
So do you think Trump should talk about it at all during the State of the Union? Should he bring up the Russia investigation?
I wouldn't personally, but I'm not Trump. I think he will. But, you know, I think whatever he wants to do, he seems to know what the American people want to hear, at least a good portion. Obviously, not half the country. They can't stand him. But, you know, he'll probably talk about whatever he wants to talk. Trump will be Trump.
What do you say to people who might be listening to you talk about President Trump and the State of the Union who think this person is living on a totally different planet than I am, and I don't think that any of these things that Trump has done are good?
So killing ISIS is bad, I guess. Cleaning up the regulatory environment is bad. We expect 4% growth in 2018. We have American companies repatriating profits, giving their employees $1,000 bonuses, stock options. The stock market has gone from 18,000 the Dow to about 26,500. That's like a 33% increase. All the good things that Trump has done would – if these had gone the other direction, let's say ISIS has taken more territory. Let's say the stock market, instead of going up 6,000 points, had gone down 6,000 points.
Well, wait. Let's talk about the stock market for 1 second because it went up a lot under President Obama, and President Trump attacked him and said he wasn't doing a good job with the economy. If he's going to take credit for the stock market, why shouldn't any credit have gone to President Obama?
Obama did get plenty of credit for bringing the stock market back. But come on, in 1 year, the stock market's up from 18,000 to 26,000 when people like Krugman and others said and Pelosi and others said that the stock market would crash when Trump was elected. She called the tax cuts Armageddon. I mean, they're living in the alternative reality, not me. I mean, anyone that doesn't see that the stock market at this rate, the stock market will be at 100,000 by the time he leaves office. I mean, yes, it grew under Obama. But to say that these are the effects of Obama economy, believe me, if it had tanked, they would have blamed Trump. So if the stock market had gone down 6,000, they blame Trump. But if it goes up 6,000, they say it's Obama. So this is like if you're a witch, you know, if you sink, you're a human. If you float, you're a witch.
That's Randall Schweller, who is a professor of political science at Ohio State University, talking with us about the president and the State of the Union address, which is tomorrow. Professor, thank you.
Well, thank you.